This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
What the hell's going on out here?
Luke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
Anyone ever tell you look like a penis with a little hat on?
You're out of here!
Oh, no,
right
no,
now,
no,
Jimmy, I heard
you misunderstood
that!
Misunderstood.
Why? What do you mean, why? We're in the championship, aren't we? Well, that's what you wanted, wasn't it? Now, just behave yourselves and act like men.
I'm not much for giving inspirational addresses. The local press seems to think we'd save everyone a lot of time and trouble if we just went out and shot ourselves.
You play ball like a girl!
I think you're a loser.
I'm a bum!
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to the Bleacher Bums. We are one step closer to knowing our competitors in the World Series, I guess you could say, as I'm proving to be quite a bit wrong here. I'm one part of your team, Jimbo, here, and I want to welcome in Fish. What's up, Fish?
Hey, what's going on? Happy to be here this morning.
Hey, we're a little light this morning. Our boy Ocho Man, Jono, with his the prognosticator, as I like to call him these days, as he is hotter than a 10-alarm fire with his picks, is en route. A little traffic trouble this morning, so had to get it going with our studio time here. So we're going to start the show without him and go from there. But until he gets here, we'll just talk a little bit about what's happening in the playoffs. I am on record as taking Toronto as my American League team, and that didn't work out, did it, Fish?
not so well. They didn't hit good enough.
Yeah, that was interesting. We are on bullpen mania for Cleveland for sure. But you know, I know that Miller's the MVP here, and I would guess rightfully so. But they have played really well. You know, I mean, they as a team, they are playing like a true group. And I think that's kind of refreshing. I think, you know, having a team like Cleveland make it here this year is both exciting, but also I think it's engaging for the fans. I mean, I think the everyday fan can relate to how this team plays.
Yeah, because they play together as a group.
Yeah, I mean, for me, if I was going to say that as a baseball fan, who do I want to see in this thing? I just always kind of like Toronto because I like Donaldson. I mean, I'm a big Donaldson fan. Encarnacion's kind of a character, right? I like that. I'm a Tulowitzki guy. I like Tulowitzki. I guess maybe that's why I was rooting for them, but it's hard not to like Cleveland. It really is.
Plus, you're a hockey guy.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Yeah. All of that stuff. Hey, it looks like it turned out to be the Great Lakes Series, you know, Lake Michigan, Lake Erie, Cleveland, Chicago.
Could be.
I know you haven't touched on this yet, but, man, that defeat last night might have been crushing for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I like to think that for the Dodgers, I mean, they obviously got to think, hey, it's baseball. Anything can happen. This isn't, you know, something that's got a path that it's going to follow necessarily. So it can change. They can go to Chicago and win two. But, man, the way I'm looking at it, the Dodgers are in trouble.
Well, let's take a look at those things. Before we do, let's make sure everybody knows where they can find us at. We are the Bleacher Bums, and you can check us out at bleacherbumspodcast.com. It's a website, obviously, that houses our podcast. You guys can check it out. You can hear some back episodes if you kind of want to verify the authenticness of this great prognosticator, okay, and see just how actual his work is. You can get on there. You can hear his picks and check him out. This guy is on fire. He hasn't lost in 3 or 4 weeks, to my knowledge, not one game. And it's a free pick every week for you. And, you know, we obviously are associated with BetDSI, BetDSI.com. So, you know, being that that's kind of his thing, he thought he'd give you some picks. And it's worked out real well for a lot of listeners that have contacted us and said, hey, where's my picks? I want my picks. So it's worked out well for me. I'm cashing. I'm waiting. I can't wait to hear what he has to say this week. So,
well, Jimmy, I've been telling you how dumb I am.
Well, you're
and you guys act like that I'm not.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I sit here and haven't invested $1, even though I get $10 free through our Bleacher Bums 10.
Right.
I haven't invested $1 yet, and he's been right so much, I could have already taken the family on vacation.
Yeah, you probably could have, especially if you were, you know, that's the thing about betting, right, is if you really feel confident and want to spend a little more money, you can make more money, right? But then it's a gamble, right? But you're right. With this guy's picks, you could have took your family on vacation for sure.
I could have, and here's the problem. Everybody goes through a little streak where they're not as hot.
Right.
You watch me. I'm going to jump on board in a week that he missed one because, like you said, he hasn't missed nothing yet.
Yeah, no, he's
speaking
hot.
Speaking of
sure.
the devil.
As
are
he
you
walks
boys
in.
Talking about me?
We are talking about you. Did you feel it? Is that why you rushed in here? I'm just telling our listeners where they can find us. So, yeah, that's BleacherBumsPodcast.com. Twitter's great for us, at Bums Podcast. We appreciate all the Twitter followers coming up on 2,500. Obviously, we just keep growing. And again, something I guarantee you, you can always hold us this. If you're a sports fan, we're going to follow you back because we want to know what interests you, especially in the game of baseball. Facebook.com/BleacherBumsPodcast is a way to communicate with us on Facebook. We'd love to see some of the great videos, some of the great stories. Make sure you share them with us. We would appreciate it. And of course, info@BleacherBumsPodcast.com is the way to email us. We do appreciate all the emails, and all the emails lately, as the man himself walks into the studio, all the emails right now revolve around people going, hey, is that guy going to give me some more picks this week? Welcome in the one, the only, the Ocho Man, Jono. What's up, buddy?
I'm doing great, guys. Good to be here.
Traffic was a little rough on you getting in here today, huh?
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of hurting in the hand, too, a little bit.
What's going on there, bud?
I don't know, man. I think I'm putting on too much weight. I got that, what is it?
Gout.
That?
You got the gout.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, you got the gout.
Killing me, I tell you.
Hey, what the
Dodgers did the gout last night.
I'm not quite sure what's going on over here.
There wasn't a gout. There was a route.
No, that was a route last night. Well, before you got here, we were touching on the ignorant prognosticator that I am, as I did take Toronto, and they promptly got whooped by what I believe to be a blue-collar team that an everyday baseball fan, whether you're a Clevelandite or if you're just a baseball fan, you can enjoy and relate to. I think this team is the kind of team that everybody can get on their backs. If, in fact, and here's where I think the issue lies, if, in fact, it is Chicago that makes it, which I'm still going to hold to my guns and say, who knows, but, man, it's going to be hard to for everyday fan. I mean, you got the media darlings and the Cubs. You got the hardworking blue-collar team from Cleveland that hasn't won a World Series in a long time. I think it'd be I think a Cleveland-Chicago series – okay, would be fantastic just for everyday fan.
Right. Yeah, I definitely like that.
They've taken on the identity of the city. I mean, blue collar as it gets in Cleveland. So
I think America likes to have an underdog, and this is the team that I think we can embrace.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. So for me, like I was saying, I don't like either one of them. You know, I don't like either one of these guys as a fan. Okay, so I'm a Cardinal fan, obviously, right? So I want Cleveland to win because I don't want the Cubs to win. I mean, I that's because I'm a Cardinal fan. Okay, at the end of the day, that's what I want. But the reality of it is, it's exciting. I will say that it's very exciting.
Yeah, definitely.
Cubs are turning out to be one of these teams that just prove even when they're down. It didn't look really that great from last night and the other night, or what was it, game?
Rich Hill. I mean, he
looked
horrible
for him, and they keep plucking away. And the next thing you know, I'm thinking it's a ball game. The next thing I know, before turn the TV off to go to bed, it's 8-2. And then I guess it ended up 10-2.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you look at the Toronto thing, I mean, we talked about their offense, and where was it? Right? I mean, it was non-existent, really.
Hey,
why are you
talking about Toronto?
Well, because I want to finish Toronto's up with Toronto, because believe me, I got a lot to talk about when it comes to Chicago. So let's knock this Toronto, because we got all kinds of problems.
We don't have to knock them out. Cleveland done did that.
Yeah, we got all kinds of problems with that series that I'm going to bring up here in just a minute. But I just want to say, what happened to that offense there? Obviously, Kluber did not win when we thought it was a desperate move, when he didn't need to make a desperate move. But, hey, once again, these guys do things. We think they're crazy. Obviously, he's the smartest guy in the room. He throws a guy ain't nobody heard of the next day, and he basically shuts down this high-potent offense.
Hey, I never thought it was desperate, pitching Kluber. I told you guys that the other day, although that didn't work out the way I thought it might.
Yeah, but not because he got knocked around, but it just didn't make any sense. I mean, I get you.
I said the other day, Francona has made a lot of decisions that have just worked out. Now, in another year, I'm smart enough to recognize that he makes these same types of decisions, and they don't work out. But, you know, when you're riding a bull, stay on top.
Well, yeah, I mean, and like I said, just in the grand scheme of things, at the end of the day, the offense that had carried Toronto just wasn't there. And if it's not there, I think their pitching has proved to be suspect at best. Aaron Sanchez had a phenomenal season. He looks to be one of these up-and-coming guys that are going to be the ace-style pitcher. You know, obviously he's got that frame. He's got the mold. I think he's going to be the real deal. Marcus Stroman pitched well at times for him this year. You know, that game that he lost is a microcosm of his entire season. Okay, Stroman looks to have everything, but then he gets beat with this long ball, solo shots that come out of nowhere. So I just think that Cleveland definitely earned this, and here they come out of the American League, and there they sit in America's team. Now, on the Cleveland front, I want to ask you guys something. Are you ready for the Wild Thing to come out of the bullpen and throw out the first pitch? Have you seen this?
I'm ready.
Are you ready? You want it.
Absolutely.
Do you want it?
Why not? Fill me in on this one.
Okay,
though.
So Charlie Sheen, the old movie Major League, which basically details a downtrodden Cleveland bunch who, obviously, it's documented, had not been to the World Series in so many years and had not done all this, right? So basically, it's a band of misfits that are put together. Well, they kind of bond together. They have this blue-collar work ethic, just like this team, right? So the city's kind of identifying this Cleveland bunch with that bunch, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody gave us a chance. All we've done is defy the odds. In the movie, there was a pivotal character in the movie who was very beloved by the city, and they called him Ricky Wild Thing Vaughn. He was a guy that threw real hard but had control problems. Well, he gets it together. He wears the funny glasses. You know, he played in the California Penal League. He was an ex-convict. Anyway, the city falls in love with the guy, and at the end, when he comes out of the bullpen, they play Wild Thing because he's a little wild, right? So the city of Cleveland basically has launched a campaign asking the club, we want him to throw out the first pitch. Because believe me, what it tells me is, whether it happens or not, they better do it, because basically this isn't like a couple people. Like, there's a large faction of the fan base that is calling for this to happen. The bottom line is this. If that happens, this place is ready to erupt.
You do know he's a big Reds fan, don't you?
He is.
Oh, big time. Big time Reds fan. Is it Sheen?
Yeah. And I'm sorry for that. I just assume everybody knows who Ricky Vaughn is. That's my fault. But
I think they do.
Okay, but he has come out on Twitter and said that if he is called upon, he will do his duty. So he has basically let it be known that he is available and ready to go.
Well,
can you imagine
this?
Well, I mean, with him,
he did a Fiat commercial. I don't think anyone drives a damn Fiat, do they?
No, I think a lot of people do. But the reality of it is, I got to tell you, for me, once again, here we go. Something kind of trivial, It'll be must see TV for me. I'll watch it because I can guarantee you, if they have him come out of the bullpen like the movie, that play with that music playing, it will go crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. Who am I to say, but I don't know how you couldn't do it.
I think you
have. I mean, if the fans want it, seems like a great idea to me. What's it going to hurt? And you know, as goofy as he is, he's been an actor his whole life, family, and everybody. He's not going to do nothing stupid. He's going to come out and play that role to the hilt.
Yeah, well,
so
yeah.
You know, he's not going to come out and do something stupid where you say, I wish we hadn't done this.
Yeah, no. Well, wait a minute. He's done enough stupid stuff to last a lifetime. So, I mean, he's covered there. So, yeah, I hope, you know, it sounds like.
I'm kind of a Charlie Sheen fan. I
do, too.
Like him,
I don't
you know.
I like him,
what
too,
was this
man.
Saying there he had for a while? I can't remember.
Oh, winning. Winning.
I'm winning. That's winning. It. Donald Trump could use that right now.
He could.
He just, I'm winning.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be caving in on him. The cops could be at his front door.
Yeah, I'm winning.
The people coming to take his house, you know, whatever. And he's, I'm winning.
Yeah, and that's what Charlie Sheen was basically doing. The whole world thought he was nuts, and he was winning, right?
And
he had the goddesses, remember?
As one of our favorites on the show is to say tied for first. He wasn't saying he was tied for first, brother.
He was saying he was
winning. I'm a winner.
Well,
I'm winning.
Well, and listen, I don't want to make light of if he had, I mean, he obviously, and I think admittedly, has some issues going on at the time, but it was, you're right, it was the whole train wreck thing with him. It was the winning. It was like he was shutting it, like, look at me. I'm rich. Look what I got on each arm here. I don't have one. I got two. I mean, he had that whole I'm throwing it in your face thing. And it is kind of funny, and we can make light of it because I think we do that with entertainers, right? In this instance, we want that entertainer, and we want him to play the role. So I think if it happens, Cleveland is ready for it. I think baseball would love it. I don't know. I think it's a no-brainer. Now, what do the Indians do? I don't know, because do they – you know, they don't have, like, a massive history where, like, they've got to let some Hall of Famer or something throw out the first pitch. They don't really have that. So this should be a no-brainer for them, right? Or am I missing something? Is there another logical thing to do from a promotional standpoint than to have this happen? And does he – hang on. How about this? Does he throw it to what's the catcher's name in the movie? I got to Google it.
Stretches my memory.
Oh, he's a good actor. He did a lot of stuff. But,
what the hell?
Who's the one guy? Not Billy Hayes, Mays.
Willie Mays.
That was Hayes. A center fielder.
Yeah.
He's
him
a big
too,
guy.
Though.
He played in Platoon. He was the other sergeant.
Tom Brent.
Damn it.
I'm getting it. Hey, the Google machine's working.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting? Who the hell cares who he throws it to? But I'm just
Tom Berenger, Jake Taylor.
All right.
Yeah. Gee, he's got to catch it, right?
Right. Okay.
If he throws it over his head.
Yeah, he's got to do. And then do we need a Wesley Snipes there to steal bases? Does he steal second and really into? No, I'm just now we're going crazy.
All right,
I think that's what we have.
Give him a few minutes here, John. I'll be back talking about
Jesus
Toronto.
Jesus Christ!
All right.
Now listen, this is the point that I made maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. I said if we have a Cleveland taking on the Cubs, now we felt sorry. I don't care if you guys are Cardinal fans, but
right.
As the public, as general. Americans, we felt like, hey, you know what? You either want the Cubs to win the World Series or you don't. And I think the Cubs got embraced by America. We want the Cubs to finally get where they're at. I mean, they would put tattoos on an already World Series champ. But now you're taking on a foe that's also going to be embraced by America, because now it's like it's kind of like Miracle Monday. You've got a team that's a blue-collar team, and I know the Cubs haven't won, but you know what? You are facing Goliath now because the Cubs are stacked. And you've never seen a team that's never come from that type of tradition being this stacked. I haven't. Have you guys seen anything like this?
No, I mean, they're awfully good.
Yeah, they're really good.
I mean, suddenly you got
I hate the Cubs.
You got a warhead looking at you here, and I don't know if what's the public going to embrace here? Are they going to say, let's finish it off now and Cubs become champions? And I don't know. It's going to be interesting for me, I like Cleveland.
I brought this up before, but Cleveland hasn't won since like 1954.
Right.
I know that's not that 1908, but you know they're
long time.
They're kind of starving there too.
Right.
Hey, I wanted to bring up with Cleveland because I didn't really get the opportunity to see him play a lot throughout the year because where we're located,
sure.
The way the national media
sure.
plays games. If you've seen this team play one time, I don't think you'd come away thinking they're any good. But when you see them play multiple times and the way they go about their business and the things that they do right. Man, they look awfully good. I mean, they're not better than the Cubs from top to bottom, pitching, back of the bullpen. But, you know, a little scrappiness. They go about it right every day. They keep plugging away. They might be able to – I think they're the most deserving team from the American League at this point from what I've seen, as well as the Cubs. So I think you're going to get the two teams that probably should be there.
No, I agree with – I think that's a great statement because, again, I think a lot of people – Texas seemed kind of like a powerhouse-type team, like – a lot of names, you know, they're doing this, and you think they're going to do this. And I tell you, it's been an interesting ride with this Cleveland bunch for sure. I think blue collar, I think they would embrace that moniker. I mean, no doubt about it. Like, hey, yeah, happy to do it. I mean, this is how we do it. Got the whole team thing going on. They also have we haven't won a World Series in a long time. You know, again, as far as a fan goes, I think it's an interesting series to try to watch. And I think you could watch it and be like, okay, I'll take either one of them kind of thing. Unless, now mind you, there are true Cleveland, true Chicago fans. But for the general everyday fan, I think they can identify, you know, with these teams. Now, that may not be the sentiment in New York, as it typically is not. It won't be the sentiment in San Francisco or L.A. But the reality of it is the majority of the middle of the country that loves baseball from top to bottom, I think they can identify with it. I think it'll be great. I don't know. Hey, let's get to that. I'm ready. Because, see, I'm telling you, I'm not happy about what's going on. This Chicago, I have had enough of these umpires. I've had enough of replay. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. I can't take their poor strike zones anymore. Angel Hernandez should not be anywhere near a Major League Baseball field. He is awful.
I've thought that for 10 years.
He is awful.
He wants to be the show.
And I love Chipper Jones. You see Chipper Jones, his tweet?
Talk to us.
I refuse to watch another game when Angel Hernandez while Angel Hernandez is on the mound. Major League Baseball has turned a blind eye to this long. If it was
not on the mound.
It was something like this. On a field. He goes, basically he's saying that he's had enough of Major League. Like, how can you allow this guy? Some of these pitches are awful.
I may have misunderstood you, but I think what we've seen here lately, and I didn't realize this to be the case really, but I think it says we need instant replay more. Because look at the plays in some critical situations, and I know it's tough, and I know they're good, but look at the plays they've gotten wrong that were corrected by instant replay.
Well, what about the ones that they got wrong that they didn't correct with instant replay? That play at home plate the other night is as bad as it gets.
That you're going to have to live with. And you're going to have to live with that, Jimbo, because the whole, it didn't tell us enough. They can't overturn the call in the field, and we get this, and you got to buy into this if you even like instant replay at all. You can't overturn that call in the field if there just isn't that great evidence.
Wait a minute. You watched it like I did. The national guys on television even said this is going to be overturned. I mean, that was an embarrassing moment for baseball.
You talking about with Gonzalez at the plate?
Yes.
And he got him on the chin and the hand got in?
Yeah, it wasn't even close. Like,
Here's what I want to know. It was close, Jimmy.
Well, hang on a minute. That's not what I mean. It was obviously close. I don't blame the umpire on that call. That's a true banger, okay? So my point is, if you're going to have replay, this is what it's for, the true banger, right? Although I still don't like it. I would have been okay with calling him out. Half the people want him safe, half the people want him out, you move on. When you slow that thing down to frame by frame on national television, he was safe. What are they looking at? Listen, it was like the pulled foot in the other series. He was clearly off the bag. What is going on with this stuff? This is crazy talk. And here's what happens. It does scream for the illogical fan to say, oh, well, the fix is in. They want Chicago in the World Series. I mean, it's just dumb. I won't
give that no more time on our show. I won't, because that's crazy talk.
I think it is too.
They couldn't have set that up, and he couldn't have made that kind of call in that kind of situation to say that anything's rigged or fixed.
I understand. You know
nothing
where I'm going
is that.
Now.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well,
I'm again stretching my poor little memory. I'm not sure that I was convinced that he was safe.
Oh, come on,
Jimmy. I have to go back and look at it then, because, like I said, I've watched a whole lot of these games here lately, and with everything else in one's life, maybe I'm losing track of this, but I'm saying, as I remember it, that it was so close, I'm saying, yeah, I think he's safe. He got him right on the chin, right?
Yeah, but
and his hand, I mean.
But when you can slow it down, they can stop the frame. His fingers are on the plate,
yeah,
and
my,
the glove is away from the face. Then they go one more frame, and the glove hits him in the face. He's clearly safe. It's awful. Just awful.
My TV slows down when yours does, so I'm seeing the same thing. I can't remember. But look at the stolen base last night, a third. I think a stolen base at second. They're blowing these calls.
Yep.
And I really hate to be that guy, because I even raised my kids to say, hey, get over the umpire thing.
We all deal
with it. Play the game. We all make mistakes. But in these critical situations, when we have the technology to assist it being more perfect, because it's never going to be perfect. You've watched enough football games, so is our listeners, most of them. Some of them get really tough. You know, football, you watch this a lot. Now, Jono's a big football guy. You watch a lot in football where you're like, well, I'm not really sure. It's tough.
What I see in football is it's so damn frustrating. And they have to improve this, is where to spot on the ball. You'll have the referee spot something, and then as he's running out to the middle of the field, he's taking another little turn to the right or turn to the left, and next thing you know, he's short. And I'm like, dude, it was a clear first down, and they're doing this more and more. What I really recommend, I think these referees should have some sort of monitor to where somehow they just shoot a laser right across the field when the play is over, and then that laser just marks it right to where the umpire in the middle of the field can just spot it right with that ball. But instead of him running, that's so ancient.
Hey, before you answer that, Jimmy, that sounds crazy, right?
No.
But here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking if we do have the technology to make something better, like, you know, in 1950 we wouldn't have been doing podcasts, and we all know they're a lot better than radio. We know this. We wouldn't have been doing that in 1950. We have the technology to do something better and greater, which is what we're trying to do here. Now, having said that, so it sounds crazy to have a laser in your hip, but hey, if it can make it better, let's make it better.
Okay, I agree with that, but here's my point on both of those. I agree with Jono. I think the thing about football is that, again, and I'll defer to you guys, are definitely bigger football guys than me for sure, but the reality of it is the spot of a football a lot of times is always subjective because of forward progress, where was the knee, where was the ball. So though they're always off a little bit, and I think that's inherent in the game. Like, you know that. You know that going in. I understand your point of when the guy has established the spot.
Right.
If he screws up, I get that. The thing about football is what's frustrating there, and I thought this is where you're going to go with it, because there's so many judgment calls in football because – why? Because they're unlike baseball with some of these things, there is no clear-cut, this is the rule. Pass interference is a great example. Well, the bottom line is you can't touch the guy. Well, you kind of can. If the other guy's going for the – that's when you start getting frustrated, because – one time they claim that both guys are going for the ball, so you're going to allow it. The next time he wasn't, and you as the fan are going, he clearly was going for the ball. What do you mean? So there's all that judgment stuff. In baseball, these calls that they're doing are very simple, out or safe. Now,
well, you get some. What about a check swing? That's certainly subjective. We know what the rule is.
I understand.
Supposed to be. But
I understand, but here's the problem with that. That's not allowed. You can't check that with a replay.
Well, I understand
okay?
that.
So I'm it isn't. Correct. So that's my point, though, Fish. Okay, where do you stop with the replay? Because here's the thing. They screw up the check swing. They did it in the playoffs just a couple weeks ago. I've got it on my phone. So, and here's the thing. Here's the thing about baseball that's interesting, that people, I'm not going to say people are ignorant, but the reality of it is one bad strike changes an at-bat. Ask any major league player. That's the most frustrating thing for them. A 2-1 pitch that is a ball that is called a strike completely changes the at-bat. If you don't think it does, all you got to do is go look at the numbers. When these guys get in a 3-1 count, it's marginally in their favor.
I couldn't agree with you more there. I do agree with
that. So my point is, one strike, one call on the base paths, it's all subjective to umpiring. And it's awful, but I am willing to live with whatever call they make because I want the spontaneous excitement back in the game that we've lost. We've lost it. We have. We've lost it. The play at the plate the other night, everybody stood around waiting for this thing to happen. It's awful. It's absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you because, again, a couple of weeks ago on this thing, I don't want to see more instant replay. I'm getting sick and tired of it. There's no repercussions being put on these umpires during the game after that. Okay, well, take it up, sir. Don't yell at me. Don't even look at the camera.
Yeah.
And it's all becoming too passive type of game. I like that old Weaver running out to the field and letting the umpire know, and the umpire getting back in. Now it's everyone's a buddy buddy, and we've lost.
Yeah, that
Americana.
Goes beyond replay, but
we've
no
lost.
Buddy buddy
sure,
but you know I'm going to sound wishy washy here, and you all know I'm not really a wishy washy guy. But so I agree with that. I agree with the being spontaneous and keeping the game flowing and rolling, which Major League Baseball made this big push to speed up the games, and yet we got an umpire over here standing at time for 5 minutes trying to figure out some. I have to agree with that. But I'm also, I guess, I've seen these calls. I thought sometimes, to be honest with you, I thought the umpires were better than this. And they are still good. But kind of like John was saying. But so when I see some of these calls like at third base, because you think that one single pitch and an at-bat can change the whole entire at-bat, which is a domino effect, which could change the inning, which can change the game. Having said that, you don't think getting a guy called out at third on a stolen base or trying to stretch one from first to third and a ball on the right, you don't think that guy getting called out, even though he was safe, don't change the complexion of the game?
Well, how about that game? I mean, they take a 1-0 lead against the Cubs. The Cubs are already down 2-1. They're wondering what's going on. You got the young kid on the mound. You give him a lead. I'm not a blame guy either, though, okay? But what I will say is this. I think your wishy-washy statement, you're not wishy-washy. The problem is, it's hard as a human being to sit here and say, yeah, I know it gets wrong calls right, but I don't want it. Because that sounds stupid, right? It's like somebody will look at you eventually and go, are you some kind of dumb? If it's wrong, don't you want to correct it? And let me tell you why I don't. Because I loved this about baseball. If you're a baseball guy, then you know this. If you're not, you're going to think this guy's stupid and full of shit. I'm not. It's an absolute fact. Back in the day, this is how it was called. If a guy made a great defensive play and it was a banger, you were out. You were out, unless you were purely safe. But if it's these bangers right now that they're reviewing, you were out. Every great defensive play, you were out at first base on a banger. Every neighborhood play at second base, you were out. There was a way they umpired it. If a guy hustled down the line and there was a boot on the infield and it was a banger, he was safe. I love that. I want that back. I'm telling you, we grew up in the 80s watching Ozzie Smith. He grew up, Dave Concepcion was his guy at the Reds. Can you imagine all the great plays these guys made with the this is how baseball was built. 50,000 people on their feet after Ozzie Smith makes a diving play in a hole and throws a guy out. You're telling me that the growth of the game would have been good if we would have stood around for 5 minutes every time Ozzie Smith or Concepcion made a great play, trying to figure out if he's safe or out?
No, I don't know, but I guess that's you have to weigh the balance. The balance of, do we want to slow that down, which obviously we don't. No one would.
And we're doing it.
I get that, but that's the balance of getting something right when we have the capability to do so. Hey, I guess I'm not really sure where I stand on this because I really buy into what you all are saying. That slows down the game. It takes away the spontaneity. Man, it's just aggravating to be sitting on my couch and see the game's wrong.
I want the human aspect back. Even if you make a bad call as an umpire, then you're going to have to live with it. You're going to hear it from the newspapers. They don't have newspapers anymore. But I'm just saying.
You're going to read it on the internet.
Yeah.
Out on the line.
Everything, there's got to be some sort of repercussion behind it or some sort of an answer that we want to hear. Not just, well, they called it up there. Just say he waves his arm and then we play ball again. Forget that.
So you're saying that you want to. I've lost my train of thought here. So
I want the umpires to be much more. This year I've seen it a lot. They're really passive, man. Don't fight with me, dude.
Where I was going in because the players worked their butt off to be the best of the best, and that's pretty obvious. 98% of these guys are in tremendous shape. They're big. They're strong. And then you see umpires out there, some of them appear to be fat and lazy, not even in the right position to make a call. So if you're wanting to get rid of replay, then why aren't these guys doing something? And I know they're probably the best of the best. Why aren't these guys getting in shape? Why aren't these guys trying to become the best of the best of the best?
I think these are the best umpires physically. I mean, back then, what do we have, Gray, that big guy at home player.
Eric Gray.
I mean, Jesus Christ. They're not like that anymore. These guys are much more better shape. But I think they're getting into the major league much too early. I think they have to work the minors a lot more than what they're doing right
now.
I
would be shocked if we're not assuming a lot of things. Number one, I will say this. I did see something last night. I wish I'd have copied it so that I had it. I can't find it. I've looked. I did see something that said that the overturn rate is at an all-time high. Okay, so that would lead you to believe that they're awful. What I will say is this, and I've maintained this. If you have, people think, well, it's not that bad. They only have a couple a game. No, they don't. What happens is that there's about 30 plays a game between both teams where the manager steps out and goes like this. So they are being reviewed a lot. And they're correct. It's just not the big production where they go over and put the headphone on. So I will give them that. They are right quite a bit. It's the call that clearly is either that close or needs to be overturned, and that's the focus of this, right? But there's a lot of calls that we think they're wrong on that they're right.
How many times are they right and or wrong? And let's say these numbers I'm making up in my head, the 10% of the time where it's close. Hey, me, you, and John will go out there and be right 90% of the time because most of them just aren't even that close. But the 10% that are actually close, how many times are they right or wrong?
Well, and that's what I'm saying to you is that I believe that it's actually a little better than we're giving them credit for because all those bangers, I mean, I'm going to tell you, I've never watched as much baseball as I have this year because of this is now our passion, this is what we do, and the fantasy league. I mean, just watching games that have nothing to do with my favorite team. And I will tell you that I don't have any numbers to back this up, just pure watching it. I I mean, there are so many times that I watch a play and think, man, he's out or he's safe. And sure enough, the umpire comes out. Not the umpire, the manager. He gives them the hold sign because that's what you have to do. Within 10 seconds, you have to let them know that your guys are looking at it, which I think is completely stupid, by the way. This guy gets on the horn. He calls upstairs. And I got to tell you, it a lot. You see the guy put his thumb down and safe or out or whatever it is. So they are better than we're giving them credit for. The problem is, there's so much focus on these plays when they do actually challenge it, and it doesn't do them any favors when they have clear-cut evidence and they don't overturn it. It's just dumb. I'm done talking about replay.
Well, we got to move on. We got a big showdown here between Kershaw and Hendricks that we got to get to. Before, you know, I mean,
what do you think?
I don't know that it matters.
What do you mean?
I mean, I just feel like the Cubs have put themselves in a position where they're not going to lose two in Chicago. But this is what I was saying. Had the Giants won game four, that would have forced the game five in that series back to Chicago. If the Dodgers can win game six and force game seven, which will be in Chicago, so would game six.
Yeah.
But both of those games to have to clinch in Chicago, I know that sounds great, but I think that puts a lot of pressure on the Cubs.
I think
it just does. They've been so long without winning. Now they're because, I mean, it's right there at the tip of their fingers.
They were up like this in what year was it when they lost two in a row to Miami?
It's not gonna happen here. I definitely don't see this as a
– No, I don't think it will either, Jono. I'm only throwing that out as a – that's something that can maybe play in the
conspiracy. What he's saying, the whole conspiracy thing again Cubs blowing it. They're not going to blow this one. I think the Cubs are going to win, and I think the Cubs are going to win a very boring game coming up here. Tomorrow it's going to be – it's not going to be fun to watch at all if you're a spectator, unless you're a Cubs fan. You're going to win a 1-0 game.
I like pitching.
Yeah, well, I don't. I like to see hitting, and these two on the mound are not going to let anything go. I think Kershaw is going to give everything he's got, but I think the Dodger bats are going to be stifled. I really see the Cubs prevailing on this one, 2-1 or 1-0 type of game.
So I don't ask a lot of questions normally. I'm asking this one. What do you think? Am I right in thinking, though, that if the Dodgers would win game six, that would put a lot of pressure, or is it just still say, hey, the Cubs are going to win, they're at home, they're better? I get that. They are at home, and they are better. To me, they're a lot better. But Game 7 in Chicago, don't you think that's a lot of pressure on them?
They better close it out now, because then everyone's going to be talking like Jimmy here. They're going to be. No, everyone's going to start bringing up what's happened in the past, and it's going to get to them. It's a young team, and it's going to get to them, the whole GOAT thing and all this BS. But they have to do it this time. Tomorrow is the day that they got to finish this out.
They would feel better. What do you think about that, though? You don't think there would be pressure game seven in Chicago?
I always think there's pressure, right? But to your point, it's highly it's highly escalated here. To this point, though, they've seemed to have handled it well, because let's face it, if you don't think there was pressure on them down 2-1, okay, in L.A., and they're going, oh, boy, what are we doing here? So they found a way. Now, sometimes does talent play? Of course it does. In this instance, if you've got the best pitcher on the planet's pitching for L.A., basically, right? Basically.
Well, this guy that he's facing is no slouch either.
I understand. So that's my point. So what if they lose 1-0? I mean, it's like, man. So to your point, yes, this is going to be an interesting thing. I personally want a game seven because I love game sevens. How could you not? I want Kershaw to go out there and
And we want the Cubs to lose.
Yeah, well, yeah. man, I tell you what, though, we got to be careful. I will say this: I love Cub fan though, and we have a ton of them listening to this show, as evidenced by all the followers and everything and all the comments. They like to get on us a little bit when we don't give their Cubbies credit. And their Cubbies do deserve credit, because they have flat-out dominated this year.
Absolutely. The problem is,
guys, welcome to playoff baseball. Okay, if you're going to be a part of this, and it looks like you may be for a while to come here, know this: the best team does not always win. And that could be the case here, because you guys clearly have been the best team in baseball this year. But the best team very rarely wins.
The Cubs remind me of the 90s Yankee team. I love up and down this lineup. It's a sexy lineup. These guys are the ones that I think draw a lot of people to the game. This is the type of team that really traditionally has always been in the American League. National League is always based on pitching and, you know, I would say a lot more finesse in the National League, American League, we'll just bring the power to you. So you're going to have, from the national side this year, a strong team kind of like built like the AL East.
Yeah, I actually will be honest with you and tell you that I think what's happened here, this is, again, this is, you know, there's no evidence to back this up. This is purely an emotional thing. I think the Dodgers woke the sleeping giant last night, and that's what makes me nervous for Cleveland if it is, in fact, the Cubs. And I completely don't understand what the Dodgers were doing last night. I know what they were doing, but it completely was a mess. Okay, Lester documentedly has an issue throwing the ball to first base, whether it be as a fielder. They basically went out there and acted like clowns. Here's the thing. I would have preferred.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Did you watch the game?
Yeah, I did.
Did you see him jumping around?
At the one point, the guy was like in
waving
the starting blocks.
Yeah.
He was in his starting blocks going to second. I don't know where you're going. I'm asking myself, steal the damn base.
That's right.
But then in the other thing, would they rather not steal the base because they think it's rattling Lester, which didn't work. He didn't get rattled.
Well, listen, again, I tweeted this out. This is exactly how I feel about it as a fan. And let's face it, I'm not the smartest guy in the room, and I'm not managing the team, but it does not take a rocket scientist to know this. To your point, steal the damn bag. Why are we jumping around? If the guy obviously has a problem, hang on. It's like a fight or anything. If they show you a weakness, you better expose it and do it. I don't know what they're doing. In the first inning, it should have been 2-1.
Yeah, but
the guy gets on first, and he doesn't steal. The Seager gets a base hit. If he steals second right away, which he should have, it's now 1-1. If Seager then steals second and steals third, he scores on the fly ball. I don't understand what's going on here.
See, and that's exactly right. This is where I sit and think, hey, I know as much about baseball as some of these other clowns managing these things. I mean, you know, like the Mitch Williams thing, 10-year-old could do it. He's got to steal the bases. But you see what I'm saying? Were they doing it and hope that they would rattle him and he would fall apart so the guy don't steal the base, but Lester gets so rattled? Because I have seen Lester, not this year. This problem didn't start this year.
No,
he's had this problem.
Sure.
I have seen him get so rattled where the next five guys rope him. So were they hoping that? Because otherwise, there's no, like you said, Jimbo, you got to steal the base.
Okay, so that's fine. I'll even give into that theory of were they hoping to get
right.
No, I'm with you. But it didn't rattle him. I put on there, this guy is the probable Cy Young Award winner, in my opinion. You have runners on base. You better expose it. Now, here's the thing. This is what I mean by they woke up the sleeping giant. Did you see the guy try to bunt on him, and he bounced the ball to first? Then did you see that? Guy tried to bunt on him, picked it up, and as he walks off the field, he stares into the other dugout. He stares into the Dodgers dugout. Now, my opinion on that is don't stare in there. That's not their fault. They're trying to take advantage. But you know what I did love? Now, again, right, wrong, or indifferent is irrelevant. If you don't think Rizzo bunting down the third baseline against the shift wasn't an FU to the Dodgers. So you know what? They deserved that because they had every opportunity to rattle this guy. Listen, you're not facing me, you, or Jono. This is a Cy Young Award winner. They should have been bunting often with some of these guys that are not very good. Some of these guys were overmatched.
Hey, only based on this year and a little bit of last year, Jimbo, would I give Lester this kind of a compliment in that he is, in my opinion, Cy Young Award winner in the National League this year. Having said that, I have seen 2-3 years prior to that, this guy get rattled bad over that. I mean, come unglued where guys are hitting him all over. He can't throw to first. He can't throw home now, at least effectively. I haven't seen that in a year and a half from him. I remember that vividly, like him just getting imploding. So were they trying to do that with him? Because there's no other explanation why the guy don't take second base.
I'm
or baffled. Give it to him if there is.
I mean, it was a clown show is what it was. And you know what? And for that, I kind of feel like the Dodgers got what they deserved. I mean, they had every opportunity to rattle this guy early, and they didn't do it. What is the one thing they say about an ace? You better get to him early, because if he settles in, you're screwed.
Why wouldn't they have no idea.
They had guys completely overmatched by him yesterday, and they just, you know, they tried to bunt. What was it, one time? And the guy almost got on because he almost threw it away. I'm baffled. They did get runners on. Then they didn't steal. I mean, I'm baffled. It's completely baffled.
All right, moving on to this game, though. Now you got two premier pitchers, right?
For sure.
Okay.
Both Cy Young Award candidates, for sure.
Will one of them get rattled if he gives up that run? I mean, now
an early run. You mean an early run?
Just that early run, one run, thinking, I don't know if our team can get enough two runs to win this now. Did I screw the ball game up now?
I think the better pitcher is Kershaw. But on that note, Jono, another great point by Jono is that Kershaw's had a past of becoming giving up some runs and getting rattled. We've seen it. I mean, they can say whatever they want about him, and he is a wonderful pitcher. Maybe the best, maybe he'd be the guy you'd take to start if you had any pick in baseball to start your rotation.
For sure.
No doubt. That good. That
yep.
kind of good.
You're right.
But we've seen him
tied
come
for first.
Unglued. He's tied for first. We've seen him come unglued when guys have gotten to him early. We've seen the Cardinals bounce him all over.
Yeah, a few years ago, would we win 9-0 in a game he started?
Yeah, but it wasn't just one game. They bounced him over in the regular season.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean. Does it shake? Does it shake one of these two if they give up that one run?
Well, I'll tell you what it feels like.
This may be a soccer match.
Yeah. Well, from just a fan's point of view, this is what it feels like to me. And I know Twitterverse feels this way too. When Chicago scores early, it feels like it's over. You know what I mean? It just, I don't know why, but you feel like the Dodgers don't have enough offense to overcome a deficit. Right. Like they don't. They're not very good at producing a run. They don't have enough power. It's almost like we need our pitching to dominate. We need to scratch across a couple runs here somehow, some way. Maybe catch a long ball here. Maybe do this. Maybe do that. But that's what it feels like. So to your point, I think you're dead on, Jono. I think if Kershaw gives up an early run,
we're looking at things unfolding.
Hendricks shouldn't feel that way because, like Jimbo's trying to explain here. If he gives up an early one run, I ain't talking about three, but one, he's got to know that his offense is more than capable.
You're right.
Of scoring nine more of these things.
So
that
he's
just
much
give up.
More at ease.
But Kershaw, again, sometimes I wonder how the Dodgers got this far looking at him. I mean, not Kershaw. No.
Right.
The offense.
Right.
I mean, I'm looking at the offense, and I know guys, you know, you got guys you know can do things like Puig or whoever, and I don't know.
Well, my opinion is this. If Chicago scores early, the game's over. But if L.A. scores early and it's not a bunch of runs, I don't think it's over. Because without question, the Chicago bunch has proven that they can score runs in bunches. To Jono's point earlier, yes, this team is about as impressive, especially now in the game of baseball, from top to bottom as you're going to get. I mean, let's face it. The last two games, Russell's been a one-man wrecking crew batting in the bottom of the order.
Yes, he has.
Hey, you know?
So moving this thing forward, one, assuming that the Cubs
well,
win, only on that point, Cleveland won't feel that way. If Cleveland gives up an early run or two, I don't think Cleveland will feel that way. I think they'll feel that scrappy like your Giants. Keep plugging away. Keep working at this thing. Keep going. I don't think they'll have the same feeling the Dodgers got now. If the Dodgers don't score early, I think it's going to impact them.
Let's back this tape up, though. Do you keep Kershaw? Let's say it's a 1-0-0-0. Do you look at him going maybe in the eighth inning, up to the eighth inning, going 130 pitches?
Oh, he'll throw as much as he has to today because he obviously – you know, the whole world would like it to. He's not coming back the next day and, like, going to give him anything. So, yeah, he goes as far as he can. I mean, he goes until
so
they get
this. So pitch count is out the door tonight or tomorrow night.
I think he's proven that.
Well, not totally. I mean, it's
well,
like
not totally.
He can't be throwing 150 pitches.
Yeah, they're not going to do anything to kill their
He can get up
investment.
Around the 130 mark, I would think.
You think he could hit the 130?
I
think what he's proven this postseason is, if anything, that time off he had because of the back, nothing to do with the arm. His arm is fresh. Now, there is nobody in the whole world going to tell you that it's okay for a guy to throw that much. But the reality of it is, I think he's probably saying, hey, look, I can rest for 2 months, and structurally everything's fine. So, yeah, I would think he gets pushed tonight.
And that's the key. I think we're talking about his effectiveness at 130
Well, that's
pitches.
What it is.
They will allow that to happen. If for any reason he says, which is probably not going to happen, but or the manager sees – that there's stiffness or there's any of those things that affect these pitchers, yeah, that's different. He's done. They're not going to jeopardize. Well, I guess I'm saying is they're not going to jeopardize their long-term future with Kershaw for one and a third more inning tonight.
Right.
But if barring there's none of those things like stiffness, tightness, all that stuff the pitchers experience, yeah, 130 pitches, I think they'll go with them on that.
I want to ask you guys a question bullpen-wise about this thing. This is what kind of is – it's both interesting, sad, makes you mad, whatever, about baseball. Right now, enemy number one for Dodger fans, Joe Blanton, right? I mean, he gave up the home run to Montero. He comes in last night. This is what's interesting about baseball. This guy had, I mean, he's not like a household name. Okay, I think he was supposed to be a better pitcher than what he was like when he was younger, and it just never panned out for him. He found himself a role in this Dodger bullpen and had a great season. This guy had a great year as a reliever in the Dodger bullpen. And then he comes out in this instance and doesn't get his job done. I mean, this is another instance of where I'm talking about where these managers, they play it the way they've played it all year long, and sometimes it doesn't work out, and sometimes people want to say, what is that guy in there for? Well, he's in there because for 162 games, he was your best option there, and he just didn't get the job done. So, I mean,
boy, he hung that one slider.
I think
I would have hit it. Well, really do.
Well, did you? Again, we're back to this. Did you see where the setup low and outside, and the catcher reaches back to the middle of the plate?
Yeah, look.
But
like
that's baseball.
Well, that's the thing. There's no room for the faint of heart. I mean, look at. I know we could sit around here and say, "Oh, poor him, poor him," but that's baseball, man. You don't get it done, you don't get it done. You're the GOAT, or you're not, you know. What do you want me to say, that he's great?
Yeah, no.
I mean, he stunk the place up. He can't get people out.
Let's give our prediction for tomorrow night then.
You ready? You feeling it?
Yeah, just on this game, though.
No, I want your prediction. Like, listen, betdsi.com is where you want to go and check this out. This guy right here to my right is getting ready to give you guys all free money. Make sure you check him out. Betdsi.com. Don't forget, when you sign up, Bumps10 gets you $10 free. And I'm going to tell you, okay, I've always been a little leery of the online thing. I had to check my rules, make sure I could do it, had to go through all that just to make sure. No big deal, but I like to place wagers. You know, I don't want to do it with a guy down the street. I don't want to get in that instance where I feel like I want anybody. I get to go here, get to put money in, and then I can use it. The interesting thing here is that thanks to this gentleman to my right, the smartest guy in the room, no doubt, I've gotten to cash out, and it happens like that. So it's great. It's phenomenal. Make sure you check them out. BetDSI.com. Drum roll, please. Boom. Give it to us, big guy.
Well, tomorrow night we've got this ball game that I've been looking at for, you know, since yesterday, coming down to this. I knew that this would be coming down to these two pitchers. And I don't know how the hell Vegas opened this up at 7 on the total score. It's went down to 6.5. That means that there's going to have to be 4-3 to win this game. I don't see a 4-3 here, my friends. I see this one being tops a 3-1 or 2-1 or 1-0. I'm taking the under on this game. 6.5 is way too high on this game for the total. We're going to take the under on this one. I believe in both these pitchers are going to pitch their asses off. I don't see this going over. Actually, I would have thought this would have opened up at 5, 5.5. But in any case, that's what we got, 6.5. It may be a gift. We may be walking in the trap on this one, but I love it. I love the under on this one, 6.5. That's what I got for you for tomorrow night. And into the Saturday, we go to Wisconsin at Iowa. You know what? Wisconsin lost to Michigan in the Big House 7-14. They come home. They just barely lose. They should have beat Ohio State. They lost to them 23-30. Wisconsin now travels to Iowa. Iowa's had no offense. There should be no team called North Dakota State going into Iowa and beating you. I know North Dakota State is good, and people in North Dakota, if you're listening, I'm sorry. But I'm saying to you right now, Iowa should have cleaned up their mess that day. I look for Wisconsin to bounce back. The line on this one is -4. Take this one right now. Wisconsin -4. I'm looking at this one being 32-10. I love the Badgers here. And in the NFL, we've got New England versus Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh without Big Ben, which means to me there's no Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown cannot throw the ball to Antonio Brown. So I'm looking at this one. New England, I think Brady's been hot. He lights it up. I like this one. -7. Take New England on the road. And amazingly on this one, too, I got another on the road. I've got three games here that are on the road here, which started with Wisconsin. We went to New England on the road with Pittsburgh. And we're going to end it up with Tampa Bay on the road to Frisco. Now, everyone said, oh, God, that can't be a sexy play. Have you seen what's going on in Frisco? They've got problems left and right. Hyde's out now. There's not much happening over there. They're going with Kaepernick. He had the lowest percentile of any quarterback this year. I like Tampa Bay minus one on the road. I love Winston to Mike Evans. This is going to happen frequently in the game. I look for this one to be like a 30-10 game too. So this is what I'm looking at, my friends. I got New England on the road minus seven, Tampa Bay minus one on the road. I like Wisconsin on the road against Iowa minus four. And for tomorrow night, I definitely like our under on the 6.5 on the Dodger Cubs game.
Hey, listen, at this juncture with you, I got to be real honest with you. I don't even know that I'm listening to you. I just want you to write it down, give it to me, and I'm going to go walk in and make my money. That's
well,
how
good,
hot you are
good.
Right now.
You know what? You just study. You put the stars, line them up, and this is what I came up with.
No, let me tell you, you've been great. You've been fantastic for the listeners as far as that's concerned. You have taken our emails to a whole new level. With our fans, for sure.
Do you guys see that though the total being just a little too much on that? It's a six.
You don't
and a
understand.
Half.
Fish and I have talked about this when you're not around. We actually don't like it when we agree with you.
Ah,
see. We get nervous. I know I do. Like if you sit over there and say your stuff, and I sit over here and go, yeah, that makes sense. I get nervous. It's when you call some of these games. Like, listen, you're going to go down in history last week, pal. I sat over here last week going, you know what? This guy definitely, especially when it comes to this, is the smartest guy in the room. But taking the points with Dallas, I can get that. Going on our show, pronouncing to all of our fans, going basically putting it out there, and let's face it, it's not going anywhere, right? This show, you can go back, you can listen to it 10 years from now. To go on there and say, I don't even need the points. Dallas is going to go into Green Bay and win this game on the road in Green Bay.
And I said big. I said they're going to win big, too. They're not just going to pull it out. So I really like that one. Here's an interesting one for you guys out there. Yeah, it's interesting because we got the Aggies that are playing Bama. That God, how can you give a team that's number six in the nation 18.5 points to 19 points?
Well, because the same kind of thing happened a week or two earlier, and you picked it right again with Alabama and Tennessee.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
I was all over that. When you made that, I thought about that, John. I don't know what the points were, but they were.
It was 12.5, actually.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there thinking,
and I
this
thought it
is going to be
cakewalk.
A rout.
Yeah, it's going to be a cakewalk, and sure enough, Bama just cleaned house on that one. But I think the Aggies bring something else to the table. I did not make this my bet DSI play, but you know what? It's something intriguing. If you guys still out there want to play a little bit more at bet DSI, this is one to look at too. I really like the Aggies getting the points here. They may not win it, but 18.5. You know what? That's a tough one to swallow.
That is a lot of points.
Yeah,
but I can see that happening.
Yeah. All right. What do you got? What do you got, Jimbo? Anything else?
No, I tell you, I'm excited. I'm excited about this game tomorrow night. I think it's
who do you got?
It's must see.
Do you got and what's the score?
I'm gonna stick with the Dodgers and I'm gonna go. I like you. I'm gonna go with that 1-0. I tell you what, because here's the thing: they're gonna have to, if the Dodgers can scratch a run across. Okay, they basically are gonna have to score off what I think right now are the two best pitchers on the planet, and that's Clayton Kershaw, and Kenley Jansen. I think they're both two of the best pitchers on the planet. I will say Lester's tied for first, but he ain't pitching tomorrow night. Clayton Kershaw's there, that monster sitting out in the bullpen. And let me tell you something. Has anybody made more money in the last 2 weeks than Kenley Jansen? This guy is a free agent this year. His agent is sitting at home. He could care less.
Hey, if you've bet your money on Jono's pick, you have made as much money as he has.
What do you got, babe?
Here's the thing. My heart's going to say Dodgers, but look, my head says it's the Cubs. I mean, the Cubs are
just
better.
And what do you got? What score?
5-2.
5-2. So you're taking the over on that?
No, I didn't say that.
No, that's what you said, though. I like this one. I like this one. I think the Dodgers will get the wall will fall apart in the 6th, 7th inning here. I look this one as being a 3-1 type of game. I look for the Dodgers to score first. And probably on a prop play, you could see who scores first. I like the Dodgers to score first, but I definitely like the 5th, 6th inning, everything to unwind here. We got a 3-1 final score. That's what I got. I got the Cubs winning this.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to see. And again, the thing that we do know is this. When we convene on Monday, we are going to have a World Series set up. We're going to know what's going on. At this juncture, I'm more curious if the Cleveland franchise is going to honor the wishes of the masses, and I'm curious to see what role Wild Thing Vaughn plays in the first game.
You and Wild Thing.
Well, that's where I'm at, bud. I mean, I feel like we should.
Won the All-Star game, though?
Well, it's American League. I was going to bring that up earlier, and it didn't fit in. See, again, ridiculous. Okay. That's bullshit for baseball to do this to the Cubs or anyone else. And I'm not a Cub fan, but those Cub fans out there got to be screaming right now.
We as Cardinal fans were screaming years ago.
I mean, well, yeah, but it's ridiculous. There's no way that silly-ass All-Star game should decide.
I love it. And let's save that for Tuesday's show here or Monday's show.
Yeah, save it. What do you mean you love it?
Well, because that's for World Series. And,
you're right. We'll talk about the importance of it. That's a great call. Hey, you take that built-up frustration over there you got on your face right now.
And put it in that pressure cooker.
And you put it, over the weekend, and you think about how ridiculous that All-Star game is, and let's cook it up for Monday.
Hey, folks, lineupmedia.fm. We got some great shows. If you're tired with this show, get done with this show, check out all the shows out there. By the end of the year, we're going to have about 60 shows right around the corner. It's going to be outstanding. Lineupmedia.fm.
No problem at all there. Don't forget BleacherBumsPodcast.com. It's the easiest way to subscribe to the show. It is free. You guys will be able to access any of the old shows. You'll get notifications whenever we do a new show and you want to listen to it. On your mobile phone, when you go to BleacherBumsPodcast.com, you'll just scroll all the way to the bottom. You'll click on whatever your mobile device is. If you go to your computer, when you look up BleacherBumsPodcast.com, it'll be right there on your right. Just whatever your mobile provider is, click on the right. It'll walk you right through it. You guys are golden and good to go. For Jimbo, Jono, and Fish, we are the Bleacher Bums. We'll see you in World Series week next week here at the Bleacher Bums. Take care.
Thanks for listening.
See ya.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.